Let's just pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's an old hymn that I used to sing when I was growing up that starts as follows. God has given us a book full of stories which was made for his people of old, which begins with the tale of a garden and ends with the city of gold. The words are undeniably a bit twee and schmaltzy, but it's actually, in its simplicity, a rather beautiful and perhaps profound hymn. It says something very true about the Bible, a book full of stories given to us by God. Many of the stories are familiar to us. We read them over and over again, the stories of Jesus' birth at Christmas, of his death and resurrection at Easter. But there are also many stories, particularly those in the Old Testament, that rarely get read in church. And we've had one of those read today, from Deborah chapter 4. And they're stories that can seem to our modern-day sensitivity surprisingly strange to find in a sacred and religious book. Think of some of the things that we've heard about read by Valarin this morning. The description of a 10,000-strong Israelite warrior army going into battle against the enemy under Sisera with his 900 chariots of iron. We're told that it was the Lord God who threw Sisera and his army into a panic. We're told the outcome, presumably as God ordained, of the slaughter of Sisera's army whilst he escaped on foot. And then there's, to our delicate 21st century taste, the really gruesome bit of the woman Jael, who lures Sisera into her tent, comforts him, puts him to bed, and then drives a tent peg into his temple. Armies, battles, slaughter, escape, and a deadly female assassin. Deborah chapter 4, Game of Thrones meets Killing Eve. Sorry, Judges chapter 4, you're dead right, Margaret, thank you. I have to say, when I heard that the creche were going to be enacting something from Deborah's story, some awful images went through my mind, but I'm sure all is good.
It's Deborah under the tree.
Deborah under the palm, indeed, good. Arguably, none of those aspects of the story, though, is the most surprising. For many centuries, this story will have been told, and the listeners would probably not have thought a thing of the slaughter and the killings. They would have enjoyed and reveled in the story, the drama of it, the success of their people, for the Israelites. What's the really shocking part is that Deborah, a woman, heaven help us, who's described as a prophetess, a judge, or a leader of Israel. This is really revolutionary and unheard of in the history of her time. But we have here in this book, Judges, a book full of stories, the picture of a woman as the leader of her nation. She is the one to whom God gives the message of his intentions, and who then pronounces them to her people. A woman who orchestrates the destruction of God's enemies. But let's go back for a minute. Let's put this story into its historical context. The Old Testament tells of that story of creation in Genesis, that tale of the garden. And it tells of the emergence of God's people, the Israelites, and the promises that God made to Abraham, the father of the nation of God's people. After years of oppression in Egypt, Moses leads God's people on their escape, the Exodus, and their wanderings through the Sinai desert. It's his successor, Joshua, who leads the people across the River Jordan and into the promised land of Canaan, the place where God has promised that his people will stop their wandering and can worship him in peace. But throughout this story, God's people are rebellious. They lack trust in God. They're seduced by the ways of foreign gods, who they turn to and worship. And the book of Judges tells how this cycle of Israel's disobedience and rebelliousness towards God repeats itself over and again. God is provoked to anger. His people hand it over and accordingly suffer at the hands of their enemies. And then the Israelites cry out to God. They cry out for deliverance. And God hears their cry in his mercy, and he raises up judges who deliver the Israelites from the plight of the people who are plundering them. In the early chapters of Judges, we hear the first three who respond when the people cry out to God. They're Othniel, Ehud, and Shamgar. You'll have noticed that the names I've mentioned so far, Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, and I've not even mentioned some of the other key people mentioned in the biblical story to this point, Isaac, Jacob, his sons, Joseph, and all of his brothers who make up the 12 tribes of Israel. They are all male. It's a highly patriarchal society where the inheritance and the leadership passes down the male line. The women were little more than appendages to the dominant men. And into this story steps Deborah. And what do we learn about her from the story? Well, first we're told that she's a prophetess. God has given her the prophetic role of speaking for him. And so Deborah tells Barak that God has commanded him to draw up 10,000 men from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun, who will take on the might of Sisera and his 900 chariots of iron. Barak, in his response, says to Deborah, with great wimpishness, frankly, he'll go and face up to Sisera if Deborah will come with him. And so Deborah, who clearly has more balls than Barak, so to speak, says she'll surely go with him. And she makes another prophetic statement that Sisera will not see, that it's not Barak who will have the glory in what happens to Sisera, because Sisera will be handed over to a woman, as we see does indeed happen. As well as a prophet and a courageous leader, Deborah is also a wise woman. She had the role of judging Israel, and we're told that she sat under the palm of Deborah, where the Israelites would come from miles around to receive her counsel and judgment. There's a lovely description from our second reading that William read, which speaks of Deborah arising as a mother in Israel. And it's that picture that's used in the Old Testament of a wise person who is like a parent to those who come seeking wisdom from them. God has given Deborah great gifts of prophecy, of leadership, of courage, of wisdom. And she uses those gifts to bring about what God has intended for his people. In Deborah's case, that was the establishment of God's rule in the northern part of Israel. She brings about the downfall of the Canaanite armies and King Jabin that had oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. As a woman, she's the most surprising of choices to bring about God's rule in this way. In the Old Testament, she's a unique example of a woman leader of the Israelite nation. And Deborah points to how God is not constrained by the ways of the world or the culture of the time. He's a God of surprises who will use whoever he chooses to bring about his ways and the furtherance of God's kingdom. Deborah had that pivotal and significant role in her day. Over the coming weeks, we're going to hear more stories of men and women who have played their parts in the sweep of God's story. People like Gideon, Ruth, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Each of them tell us something about God's purposes for his people and the establishment of God's kingdom in the world. Like Deborah, they're forerunners of Jesus, living many hundreds of years before he was born. But each in their own way point to something about Jesus and God's kingdom. Deborah's gifts and leadership make us look at the way that Jesus regarded women in his time. Life was still male-dominated in first century Palestine, but we see in Jesus, in his interaction and his involvement with women, how he, in his day, broke the cultural norms and the boundaries that were normally acceptable, as he accepted and valued them. It was, after all, the women who stayed with Jesus in his darkest hour at the foot of the cross, whilst his male disciples fled. And it was to a woman, Mary Magdalene, that Jesus first appeared after his resurrection, and who was entrusted with bringing that most momentous news of all, that Jesus was alive. For us now, we come with our own individual stories, 2,000 years after Jesus. Whereas Deborah's life pointed to the struggles and sometimes successes of God's people before Christ, we live in the aftermath of Jesus' death and resurrection. And we too live lives that have their own struggles and successes. Now, you may not believe that you're called to be a prophet or a wise person to the people. You may believe that you're not called to be a leader of the nation like Deborah. You may not envisage yourself to be an inspirational war leader, encouraging the warriors to bring down God's enemies. But God has a call on each one of our lives. And because he is a God who does great and wonderful things, which are often surprising, sometimes even shocking, don't let yourself be constrained or limited in your expectations of what God may want for your life, for the part that you have to play in God's story today, here and now in London, or wherever your life takes you. Let your story speak out of the way that God wants your life to point to Jesus and his love for the world. For each one of us has a part to play in the greatest story ever told. As that old hymn put it, the story of Jesus is best, for it tells how he came from the Father, his faraway children to call, to bring the lost sheep to their shepherd, the most beautiful story of all. Amen.